reading in just a moment. I do appreciate you being in the house of God today, and I anticipate what the Lord has for us in the Word of God. Ruth chapter number 1, we've been preaching, started last Sunday preaching the book of Ruth a little bit. Don't know how far we'll get, but we'll go as far as the Lord wants us to and try to get some truths for our hearts. Ruth chapter number 1, and we'll begin reading here in verse number 6, and we'll read down several verses and try to preach as the Lord directs us today. I appreciate you being here, but most of all, I appreciate the Lord being here. If we had 500 people here today and God not show up, it'd be a waste of time. We got to have His presence, we got to have His help, and we got to have His touch, amen? And don't worry, I'm going to preach fast today because I'm wearing flash cufflinks. So I'll preach fast today, amen? Me and Daxon started this thing, we're buying superhero cufflinks, and somebody saw that, and they said, that's carnal. I said, no, y'all be glad. That means I'm going to preach faster today, amen? And but Ruth chapter 1, if you're willing and physically able to do so, let's stand together. And of course, by standing, we honor the Word of God. And appreciate you being here. Appreciate these young people sitting on the front row. And thank God for that. We still got more room on the front row for more young people. Amen. And even old people. Amen. And we'll start giving away. Richie said he'd give a $100 bill to anybody sitting on the front row today. Yeah. Not anybody else. Amen. And so if you want to take Richie up on that $100, you come sit up on the front. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Ruth chapter 1. And let's begin reading, please, in verse number 6. The Bible says, then she, speaking of Naomi, arose with her daughter-in-laws that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughter-in-laws with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-laws, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them and lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you tarry with me? Are there yet more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should say I should have a husband also tonight, and should bear also sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part me and thee. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left speaking unto her. So they went until they came into Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about. And they said, is this Naomi? Let's pray a moment. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, and your love. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to open up the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the songs of the choir. Lord, I'm glad that you are coming again, and I'm glad our sins are under the blood. Thank you, you're a faithful God. Lord, I pray, Lord, for the next few moments, Lord, you would cleanse me of sin. You would empty me of self, fill me with thy spirit. I pray, Lord, that you put eternal truths in our hearts today. Get glory to yourself. Lord, I pray and ask you, as humble as I know how, Lord, to grant us preaching liberty. Lord, help me realize the enormous responsibility that you have put on me to preach the Word of God to these people today. Lord, help me to realize the responsibility and, Lord, the heaviness. And I pray give us power and unction from on high. In Jesus' name, and all the Lord's people said, amen. Understanding, you may be seated. When you come to the book of Ruth, we've been studying it the last two days. And Lord willing, tonight I want to encourage you to please be back in the service tonight, because we're going to tie the book in with a very famous New Testament passage, and you don't want to miss it. I promise you, you'll want to be here. So I want to encourage you to be back in the service tonight at 6 o'clock. But anyway, we've been dealing with the book of Ruth, and we've been talking about its position in the Word of God. It is between the book of Judges and between the 1st and 2nd Samuel. The book of Judges, of course, being the book of gloom in the Old Testament. A lot of sins, in fact, a lot of wickedness went on in the book of... In fact, Judges 21:25 kind of summarizes the book of Judges. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And that's where we're living at in 2018 in modern-day America. And the first and second Samuel, that is the book of glory. That's when David comes on the scene. That's when God really begins to move into the nation of Israel. But right in between gloom and glory, you find the book of Ruth, and that is a picture of the grace of God. And can I say this? It also pictures salvation. For a sinner lost without God is a life filled with gloom, living your life how you want to. But on the other side of 1st, 2nd Samuel, yeah, that's where the king shows up. Living with the king, living under the rulership of the king. But before you can get to gloom, to glory, you got to stop by Calvary and go by the grace of God and get washed of the blood. And I'm glad I was living in gloom one day. I was lost without God one day. And I wanted to go to glory. But in order for me to get from gloom to glory, I had to go through the grace of God, through that nearer kinsman, that one that paid the price, so this Gentile dog could get in this thing. So the position of the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth is also the eighth book in the Bible, eight being the number of new beginning. It is just full of truth and full of gospel truth and full of wonderful things to help our lives. In our last Sunday morning, we dealt in verses 1 through 5, and we preached on the days which in the judges ruled. We preached about the days we are living in, how it is very typical and very much like the days in which the judges ruled and the condition of the family. We really preached on to the young people last Sunday about, and to the parents, about the importance of having a godly home and having a godly heritage. Last Sunday night, we dealt with verse number 6. We preached on the subject of compassionate correction, because we realize that God does not send correction into our lives because He hates us, but rather the Hebrew writer said, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." And we realized that God really loved Naomi, and God really wanted to bring her back to a place of repentance. And if God's beating the fool out of you right now, and God's correcting you, and God's chastising you, you ought to thank God. You should realize it is the love of God in action in your life. This morning, I want to move on to another part of this story. In our text that we have read, we find three widows. We find Naomi, we find Orpha, and we find Ruth. Some Bible commentators pronounce her name as Oprah. I refuse to put Oprah in the Bible. Somebody say amen right there. So we're going to call her Orpha. Amen. But we find three widows in our verses this morning. And we find three widows, they're at a point in their life. They're at a crossroads, if they would, in their life. They're at a moment of decision. That's what I want to preach on this morning. The moment of decision. Because in your life, you're going to come to several times in your life of a moment of decision, a choice, a decision that you're going to have to make. And by the way, these decisions, these choices these ladies made, it affected their life for the rest of their life. Till the day they die, these choices they made affected their life. Let's look at our text this morning. First of all, I find the direction of Naomi in verse number 7. Notice the Bible said, "Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughter-in-laws with her, and then went on their way to return to the land of Judah." We find Naomi making the first decision in our text. We find, first of all, the reason for this direction change. Notice the reason. Why is Naomi heading back to Bethlehem, Judah? Well, she heard, in verse number 6, she heard that the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread. In other words, watch this now. She heard when she was not being faithful to God, that God was still being God back down there in Bethlehem, Judah. Can I say this? Just because you quit on God and just because you go away from God doesn't mean God's going to have a nervous breakdown and have to shut heaven down. He's going to quit being God. I promise you, He was God before you came along. He'll be God long after you're gone. He'll be God long after I'm gone. He said, "I am God. I'm beside me. There is none else." And Naomi realized, Yes, we went away from God. Yes, we went out of the will of God. But God's still being God back up there at Bethlehem. God is still blessing His people. God is still moving in a mighty way. And so I'm going to go back where God is. I say this, if you're not right with God, God's still just as loving. God's still just as compassionate. God is still just as gracious as He's ever been. He's still God, amen. He said, I'm the Lord, and I change not. I bless His name, and thank you for that promise and that privilege we have today. She heard about a communication, for she had heard the visitation, how the Lord had visited His people, and the presentation in giving them bread. We found the reason for her direction. Notice the regret in her direction, though. Verse 21, she makes this statement, the Lord hath brought me home again empty. So she's not carrying anything. She don't have the pairs. She just has the clothes on her body. Don't have any luggage. She said, I'm empty. But I believe if you was to examine her more closely, Brother Charles, you would see some invisible baggage. You see some things she's carrying that nobody, you couldn't see it with the human eye. But she sees it. I wrote a couple things down she could have been carrying. She's carrying invisible baggage of a grievous mistake. I was reading last night. I got a hold of a good book, a good commentary on Ruth this week, and I've had a hard time putting it down, studying. I wish I could just get up and read the book. Because everything that he says in the book is what I want to preach to y'all. Amen. It's good stuff. But I was reading, and there's a lot of argument about, we talked about this, about Naomi following Elimelech. But notice what she said in verse 21. She said, I went out full. She didn't say we. She was just as wrong in her leaving Bethlehem as Elimelech was. She said, I went out full. So she's got a grievous mistake. She went away from God. And some of you have to carry the baggage of mistakes in your life. Nobody can see it. Nobody can see the outward effects of it. But deep in your heart and deep in your mind and deep in your soul, you got something that's dragging you down. And it's a grievous mistake. We all have something like that where we wish we could go back and change it. If you was to give us $1 million or a chance to go back and fix some mistakes, you'd be surprised how many people would take the chance to go back and fix some mistakes. Amen. We've all been there. We've all made some mistakes that, in fact, we wouldn't want people to know half the things we've done in our life. Amen. She's got a grievous mistake. She's got a guilt of mind. I mean, she was in Bethlehem, Judah. She was where God was blessing. She's where God is moving. But now she has that guilt in her mind. Her husband and her two sons. She can't even visit their graves anymore, Brother Charles, because they're buried in Moab. Guilt of mind, grievous mistakes. But watch this now. Here's a little more, something more practical. Three grave markers. There's three graves on the hillside of Moab. It says Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion. She's got some regret. She wonders, had we not went to Moab, would my boy still be alive? We notice her reason for going back. The regret in her going back. But watch this now. Notice the resolve in her going back. Notice verse number 7. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was. Did you get a hold of that? See, here's where a lot of people live. Watch this now. Let's say this is Moab. Here's where a lot of people live. And let's say that over there is God's will, Bethlehem, Judah. Here's what a lot of people do. Boy, this is awful being here. I should not be here. I don't belong here. I'm not in God's will. I'm not where I need to be with God. I really need to be right with God. I really need to get over there where God's at. I'm in a bad spot. I mean, you getting it now? They know they're in a bad spot. They know they're in a bad place. But here's their problem. They don't do nothing about it. Naomi, she went up out of the place where she was. She said, I'm not just going to admit that I'm in a bad place. I'm going to act upon the fact that I'm in a bad place. And I'm going to get out of it. Drunks will tell you they're sop drunks. And then go get drunk tonight. Drug addicts will tell you they're drug addicts. And then go shoot up again tonight. But real repentance and real resolve takes place when you get up out of that place. We'll hit on more of that tonight. And get out of that place and head the right direction and have some resolve. A lot of people know truth, but very few people act upon truth. Amen. The direction of Naomi. Secondly, in verses 8 through 13, I want us to notice the declaration of Naomi. Are you still with me? The declaration of Naomi. Three or four different times in our verses, we find where Naomi, watch this now, tries to encourage Ruth and Orpah to stay in Moab. According to the text, they're somewhere outside the city of Moab, because that's usually where they bury people, outside the city. So she said, "Now look, y'all just going back to Moab. I'm going to go to Bethlehem, Judah." In verse number 11, she said, "Turn again." Verse 8, she said, "Go, return." Verse 11, "Turn again." Verse 12, "Turn again." Verse 15, "Return thou after thy sister-in-law." Here's where I'm getting to. It amazes me. Sit up, Daxon. Sit up. It amazes me that someone like Naomi, who knows truth and knows God, would tell two lost heathen girls to go back to their false gods. Number one, she tried to discourage them. Why would Naomi try to discourage Orpah and Ruth from leaving Moab and going to Bethlehem? Could it be, first of all, because they were a reminder to her? Every time she looks at Orpah and Ruth, she sees Mahlon and Chilion. And then she don't see them. And she is reminded of that grievous mistake, the guilt of mind, and the grave markers. And so in her mind, it could be, if I can get them away from me, then it'll be over. They were also on reminder, they were residue. They were leftover from Moab. They were repulsive. Moabites were looked down upon because of their origin. There with Lot and his daughters in that cave outside of Sodom. She tried to discourage them. She tried to divert them. Think about this now. Here we have an individual, one of God's children. In our way of thinking, she's saved. She's trying to divert people who are lost from going to where God is. She is literally, watch this now, being a hindrance to the lost. Are you seeing that with me? She's being a hindrance to those who are lost. And how many times have you and I been a hindrance to lost people? Been a hindrance to people who don't know God and they don't know Jesus, their personal Savior. That's why I understand some people. I'm a little easier on people that work at restaurants. And I'm a little easier on waitresses and cooks at restaurants. Now, IHOP, that was just crazy the other night. Sat down at 7:30, didn't get my appetizer sampler until 9:30. That's a little messed up. But I was at Bojangles on Easter Sunday this year, getting a bucket of chicken to bring it over here to the church to eat it in Jesus' name. I was going to put some chicken in the ministry. And I'm standing, of course, everybody and their sisters at Bojangles Sunday afternoon, I'm standing in line waiting my turn. And man, the guy in front of me just chewed that lady out. Just chewed her out. Had a suit and tie on. Just chewed her out. And when I got up to the register, she was fighting back tears. Wasn't her fault that the chicken wasn't getting cooked fast enough back there. It's Sunday. You're at Bojangles. You're going to wait. In fact, it's Bojangles. You're going to wait. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. And that lady, she was about weeping, and she said, "Can I take your order?" I said, "How are you today, ma'am?" She said, "Not too good." I said, "It'd be good if all these stupid church members would live like they went to church today, wouldn't it?" I said it out loud for everybody to hear. Somebody said, you don't think I did? I said, "Bless God, all these people went to church. They got a terrible attitude." I said, "I want you to know at Safe Harbor Baptist Church, we ain't a bunch of jerks." Yeah. Amen. 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 Yeah. Old Brother Joe Arthur, they down there at the tabernacle, I love this story. It's one of my favorite ones. They was at one of the staff members went to eat at Logan's and left a good tip and put it in a track. And that lady, waitress came over, she said, he said, "Can I invite you to church?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "I'm not coming." She said, "Some people with that same track was in here the other night about a party of 20. They ran me to death, didn't leave no tip, but they left the track." Old Brother Jerry went and told Brother Joe. Brother Joe got up on Sunday morning in front of 550 people. He said, "One of you sorry rascals ate at the Logan Steakhouse last Tuesday night with a group of 20. He said, "If I knew who you was, I'd come sit in the pew." He said, "But if you ain't gonna leave the tip, don't leave the track." He said, "So Jerry over here, our staff member, he's going down there today, going to find that waitress and give her a $100 bill from the church to let her know that everybody at Harvest ain't idiots. Being a hindrance to lost people." Amen. With our words. Amen. If your chicken's 10 minutes late, it ain't going to hurt you. We get an attitude and we get all messed up and we realize. And I understand there's some things where you got to speak up and all that kind of stuff. We had a suggestion box at Chick-fil-A and we empty it once a month and never read a thing. But anyway, what I'm saying, I know there's a time where you got to do certain things like that. But we got to remember, we're saved.
Yes, sir.
We're supposed to be a light.
Yep.
We're supposed to be a testimony.
Yep.
Amen. Now, the judge seat of Christ, they ain't going to get to use. Well, somebody was rude to me at Bojangles and that's why I didn't get saved. That ain't going to count. But I hate to see that person at the judge's seat knowing I act like a moron.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Amen. With our words, with our walk, we hinder sinners with our walk. We talk one thing, but we walk another way. We present one thing with our mouth, but we portray another thing with our walk. She's being a hindrance. She tried to discourage them. She tried to divert them. Watch this now, and I'm not cussing, but it's the truth. She tried to damn them. You do realize if they go back to Moab and they die, where do they go? They go straight to hell. When Orpah and Ruth leave and go back to Moab, they're not going where there's a gospel preacher. They're not going where there's a Bible-believing church. They're going to a place of false gods and they're going to die and go to hell. May God give us a burden for sinners again. The direction of Naomi, the declaration of Naomi. Number three, watch this now. Notice the departure of Orpah. Verse 14 and 15. We're almost done. Watch verse 14. "And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." It is interesting to note, we've been talking about these names in the book of Ruth. Elimelech means my God is king and all that. You know what Orpah's name means? It means a portion of the back of the neck. One that turns. Do we not find that happening in Orpah's life? In fact, she has gone back. She turned again. Notice what she's returning to. First of all, a fleshly society. She's going back to a fleshly society. Jeremiah 48 verse 11 says, "Moab hath been at ease from his youth. He hath settled on his lees, and hath not been empty from vessel to vessel. Neither hath he gone into captivity, therefore his taste shall remain in him, and his sin is not changed." In the book I was reading this week, Edward Boone, about this verse, he said, "Moab is unconcerned. Moab has been at ease from his youth. Moab is unfaithful. He is settled on his lees. He's not stirred up. Moab is unengaged. He has not been emptied from vessel to vessel." You see, Moab, they don't want to pour their life into anybody else's life. "Moab is unpunished. Neither is he gone into captivity. Moab is unchanged. Therefore his taste remaineth in him." He's still got the same old appetites. And Moab is undiscernible. His sin is not changed. He pictures the flesh. And she's going back to that fleshly society. She's also going back and on to a fleshly society. She's going back to a false salvation. Watch this now. Moab as a whole worshiped the false god known as Chemosh. His name means subduer or destroyer. Chemosh was a derivative of the god Molech, who was the god of the Ammonites. What they would do, the Ammonites and the Moabites would engage in adultery and prostitution and incest, and to deal with the consequence of their unwanted and sometimes deformed or damaged or dying children, they would offer their children to the false gods of their religion. In fact, Chemosh and the Molech were gods that had hands that stuck outward, made of brass. And they'd heat those hands up to a burning degree. And they'd take their live babies and throw them in the hands of that false god in hopes of appeasing their god so they might obtain salvation. And that's what Orpah's going back to. She's going back to a fleshly society, a false salvation. But she's up when she goes back, she is forgotten in Scripture. You never read Orpha's name again. You never see her again. She's forgotten. Somebody said, what happened to Orpha? She died and went to hell. And in fact, she's in hell this morning. Remember, it's a moment of decision. Last of all, not only do we find the direction of Naomi, the declaration of Naomi, the dedication of the departure of Orpha, but last of all, I want you to say a word about the dedication of Ruth. So now, Naomi's decision has been made. Orpha's decision has been made. Ruth, it's crunch time. It's down to your choice. What are you going to do? Watch this now. Watch this. There's six things about it I want to give you very, very quickly. Notice her attitude. Watch this. Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. In other words, don't tell me to leave again. I ain't going nowhere. In other words, she sounds steadfast. She sounds unmovable. She sounded like she's made up her mind that she don't care what anybody else says. She's not going back to Moab. She's not going back to the false gods. She's not going. She's seen Molech. She's seen Chemosh. She saw that brings no hope. She saw that brings no contentment. She said, Naomi, I don't care what you say. You can ask me a million times, but I've done made up my mind. I'm not going that way again, but I'm headed another direction. And aren't you glad for the day when you made up your mind that you're not going with religion and you're not going to things this world, but you made up for your mind. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Make up your mind that you will go with God. Her attitude, she says, Naomi, I'm trying to be kind, but don't you ask me again. I ain't going anywhere. Can I ask you a question? Can you be talked out of what you got? Can somebody talk you out of it and pull you back to Moab and pull you back to Egypt? You better have a steadfastness in your spirit. You better have a commitment in your heart. Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, may I remind you, you need to be set aside. You need to be like that tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. You need to have some commitment and some steadfastness in your life. It bothers me, people, that you can talk them out of church. You can talk them out of the Bible. You can talk them out of living for God. Things they believed for 20 years. Then they, well, I just don't believe that anymore. That we're in the Bible. But now they've changed. Here's the thing, mate. I've grown in the Lord now. That's what they'll say. I matured in the Lord. No, you've went back to Moab's what you've done. If it was ever wrong, it's still wrong. And if it was ever right, it's still right. Ruth said, I done made up my mind. It'd help a lot of you just to make up your mind. Amen. Her attitude. Watch this now. Notice her address. Whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Said, Naomi, might as well go ahead and put my name on your mailbox too, because I'm going where you are. Watch this now. The only thing that Ruth had seen about the God of Israel was his chastisement. All she had ever saw. She sees it. Watch. She sees it acted out on Elimelech and her own husband and her own brother-in-law and now Naomi. And she said, I'll tell you this. Your God chastening you is more than my false God ever done for me. So I'm going with you. Her attitude. Her address. Watch this now. Her association. Thy people shall be my people. She said, y'all are called Israelites, right? Those are my people now. Watch this now. She's not hanging around with that crowd she used to hang around with. But she's got a new family. She's got a new fellowship. She's got a new group she's running with. Oh, she's running around with Moabites, a bunch of wicked people. But now, she's in a new crowd. She's in a new family. In fact, you read Matthew 1, she's in a good lineup. See, and aren't you glad we're not running with the crowd? We ought not be running with the crowd we used to be running with. We ought to be running with God's people. Wherefore, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. May God, I know we're supposed to be a witness. I know we're supposed to be a light, and I agree with that. But honey, I'm not to fellowship with those of the deeds of darkness, but I'm to have fellowship with God's people and around God's word, around God's house. She said, thy people shall be my people. Got common ground. Her attitude, her address, her association. Watch this now. Her affection. My God shall be my God. She says, Orpha, or Naomi, I don't know much about your God. But for him to put you up through all this, just to take you back home, he must really love you. And so whoever, I'm not sure how much Ruth knew, but she knew enough. Did you get that? I don't know how much she knew, brother, but she knew enough. And I don't know everything about it, but I know enough. That old blind man in John 9, he didn't know much of whether this man's a sinner or not, I know not. But this thing I know, whereas I once was blind, but now I see. Can I say this? I don't understand it all, but I sure do enjoy it all. I can't explain it all, but I'm enlisting in it all. And she said, that God that loves you enough to bring you back, he loves you enough. Watch this. She said, Ruth, your God loves you enough not to give up on you. And that's who I want to be my God. And aren't you glad that God never gave up on you? He never gave up on you. She said, I worship them gods that have hands, but they touch not. They have ears, but they hear not. They have noses they have, but they smell not. Mouths they have, but they speak not. She said, I need something better. I need an upgrade. Old Mae Jackson years ago, I told this before, but like I said, I've only lived once and I only have so many life experiences and illustrations. But Mae Jackson's doing that Holy Land tour and it's with a bunch of dead Baptists. I mean, they're at the Sea of Galilee, ain't nobody saying anything, but one lady, she's just a shout. I mean, every time Brother Mae's preaching, she's a shout. I mean, they get to the cross, where about when you could go up there, she's a shout. They get to the empty tomb and she just has a spell. Shouting, he said, I like that woman. She's of a different nationality. She spoke English well. He says, ma'am, can I ask you? Everybody else is dead. Why are you so happy? She said, oh, Brother Jackson. She said, I used to be a Hindu. She said, I had many false gods, had many false idols, and I would set my gods up every morning, and I would get down in front of all my little gods, and I would pray. She said, but they never heard one of my prayers. I would offer up sacrifice. They could never accept it. They would never speak to me. She said, but one day, somebody invited me to church. And I heard a preacher preach about Jesus. And she said, I got saved that morning. And she said, and I went home. And she said, I picked up my first little God and said, you've never heard one of my prayers. Threw them in the trash. Picked up the next little God and said, you've never comforted my heart. Threw it in the trash. Picked up another God, said, you've never even spoke to me. Threw it in the trash. And she said, now, Brother Jackson, she says, I can't help but be excited to know that I have a God that lives, and more importantly, he lives in me. He is alive. Her attitude, her associations, her address, her affection. Watch this now. Her assurance. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will be buried. Ruth is not planning on quitting halfway. There's a lot of people that do that. She's faithful. I wrote this down in my notes. People are not scared of commitment because they're committed to everything. They're committed to the job. Kids are committed to school. They're committed to soccer league and baseball league and battle arena or whatever it is you do. People are scared of commitment to the house of God. Amen. That's the truth. Her assurance. She said, I ain't quitting. Then watch this and I'm done. Her advancement. I love verse 18. I underlined it and highlighted it in my Bible. When she, speaking of Naomi, watch this, saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Naomi looked at her and said, well, I ain't changing your mind. Let's go. Naomi said, I ain't going to ask you again. You've done announced your allegiance. You've done announced your direction. So let's just advance. Let's just advance. The Bible said in verse 19, so they two went on. She went the right direction. I told you, I'm done this morning. I told you. I'm preaching about the moment of decision this morning. Don't move again. The moment of decision. So we saw three, we told you, three widows. I want to summarize the three widows and the three choices. First of all, you have Orpha. These three widows are heading three directions. Here's Orpha. You know where Orpha's headed? She's headed to hell. And there might be somebody in the building today, you're like Orpha. You're headed to hell. You don't have to. There is a kinsman redeemer that'll pay your price, that has paid your price, and will save you. You got Naomi. She's headed home. She's getting right with God. She's getting back in fellowship with God. And then you got Ruth. She's that sinner. She's headed for hope. She's headed for a husband. She's headed for a handful. And she's headed for a household and a home. She's headed for heaven. Which way are you headed this morning? Are you at that moment of decision? You might be here, you're like Orpha. You've never been saved. This morning you're headed to hell. I got good news for you. Jesus died so you don't have to go to hell. You may be like Naomi. You're not where you need to be with God. You can come home. You can get right with God. Or you might be like Ruth. You're a lost sinner. But you don't want to die in your sins. You can head for hope. You can head for help. You can head for heaven. The moment of decision. Let's stand together. Heads bowed and our eyes closed. My wife can come and play a verse of invitation. Heads bowed, eyes closed, somebody looking around. I wonder this morning, as we begin this invitation, get ready to close the service, which way are you?